All right, it's the 1st of January 2018, year of our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, and we are back in the Book of Acts series. We're still in chapter 1. This is volume 2. And the title of this teaching is, Was Judas Saved? Was Judas Saved? Book of Acts chapter 1. We'll be studying verses 12 to 26. I'm going to skip the review from last week. Does anybody remember what, or not last week, but the last time I taught, does anybody even remember the title of the teaching from the first part of Acts chapter 1, or what it was about?
I'm going to need a rain check on that one.
I know you are. Yes, sir.
Christ will return as he departed.
Yeah, Christ returns as he had departed. So he went up in the sky, he's coming back down from the sky. So all the guys on the earth that are saying they're Jesus Christ now, and they didn't come out of the sky in flaming fire, they ain't Jesus Christ.
So. Amen.
All right, so we'll start with the reading in Acts chapter 1, starting verse 12, all through 26. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. That's an important point. And when they were come in, they came up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. And now this man purchased a field where with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in their proper tongue Al-Kadama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric, overseer, bishop, let another take. Wherefore, these men which accompany with us all the times that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, with a surname Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two men thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go into his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So just a quick sidebar here. It's amazing to me that we had our grandson born just a few days ago. His name is Matthias John Stephen. Hallelujah. And the name Matthias means gift of the Lord. I wanted to bless you with that. So he surely is a gift from God, a gift of the Lord.
Amen.
All right, so the title of this teaching is, Was Judas Saved? We'll be going back and forth and look at different parts of Judas' ministry to find out what was happening here with this guy, this disciple, this apostle, who fell from his apostleship, he fell from his place, and unto everlasting destruction. Turn with me to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verses 19 to 21. I'm going to have Brother Joey read that. Mark chapter 14, verses 19 to 21. And Brother Daniel Rusk, if you would read John chapter 17, verse 12.
Verses 19 to 21.
Yeah, in just a minute, Mark chapter 14, verses 19 to 21. Daniel, then you'll read John 17 verse 12, excuse me. Brother Marvin, you're going to read Psalm 41:9. Psalm 41, verse 9. Brother Brian, you're going to read Psalm 69, verse 25. Go ahead and get to your place there.
Say that again.
Psalm 69, verse 25 for Brian. And then Psalm 109, verses 7 to 8 for you, brother. And Joey, whenever you're ready, you'll start, and we'll go just like I numbered you in order there. Each one will read the verses I've appointed to them.
And they began to be sorrowful and say unto him, one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12, and it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the ditch. And the Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him. But woe to the man and by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born.
Thank you.
And John 17:12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that gavest, those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled.
You got some water there, brother?
Psalm 41:9. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me.
Psalm 69:25. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents.
Psalm 109:7-8. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office.
Okay, so we see that Judas betrayed the Lord, and at the Last Supper left filled with the devil to carry out his conspiracy against Christ. So the question is begged, did Judas lose his salvation, or was he predestined to be reprobated by God? Did God say, well, I've got this guy in the future, I'm going to pick him, and then I'm going to damn him? John chapter 13, verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 to 37. Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 to 37. Daniel McGlone, would you read that, please, nice and loud and clear? Matthew 12, verses 25 to 37.
25 to 37. But Jesus knew their thoughts, and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first find a strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. The tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. O good man, out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Okay, and the reason I brought this passage up here in Matthew chapter 12 was to make a comparison. Jesus was falsely accused, of course, by the Pharisees, the religious sects of Israel, that he was doing things, he was casting out devils by the power of the devil. But how could that be? Why would the devil ever cast out a devil? It's just not something he wants to do. He wants to build his authority and his kingdom here on the earth to usurp the authority of God. And then he says something interesting in verse 27. He says, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, Beelzebub, the devil, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. So if your sons are casting out devils by the authority of God, and I'm casting out devils by the authority of God, and you're falsely accusing me, and your own sons will judge you. See, because if your sons are doing this thing right, and they're believing God for what he said, then your false accusations against the Son of God will be part of the judgment that they will give you. And go down to verse 31, we see blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, the unforgivable sin. So this is my supposition that what happened with Judas. The Holy Spirit was operating amongst the disciples, amongst the apostles, as Jesus was discipling them, teaching them, mentoring them for 3.5 years, and Judas began to betray God, betray the Holy Spirit internally. He began to steal from the money bag, and he began to covet, and then ultimately ended up to his sin grew, and the fruit was born thereof to the fact where he's bringing a whole group of people to betray Christ in Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26, verse 14 to 16. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? So here is this apostle, disciple, who had been with Jesus for 3.5 years, seen the miracles, saw all these things, saw Lazarus raised from the dead. Think about this. Saw the power of God, and for money, 30, not 300, not 3,000, not 3 million, not that it would make any difference, but for 30 pieces of silver, betrayed his master. How devilish do you have to be to do that? Matthew 26, 21 to 25. Now as they were eating, he said, surely I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them, the apostles, began to say to him, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He said to him, you have said it. We see that the apostle Judas fell from his office. He would have been one of the 24 elders around the throne, as described in the book of Revelation and elsewhere. And he would have bowed and cast his crown to Jesus' glory. But he surrendered it for sin. Now the confusion is that people think, well, you know, God knew from the beginning, and we're going to cover that in a minute. He knew from the beginning that Judas was going to betray him. Now obviously I believe that God did know that somebody would betray him. But particularly Judas, it would have only been revealed by Judas' sin as he discipled him. As Jesus is testing the spirits, because if God tells us to test the spirits, certainly Jesus was testing the spirits. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So as he's discipling his disciples, he's testing the spirits. He says, what spirit are you of? And there he is. He's getting tested, and he's revealing what it is that's important to him, money. Esau and Jacob are good parallels of Judas and Peter. We know that Peter, denied Christ 3 times. And of course, we hear that all the time when we're preaching. Well, what about Peter? He denied the Lord 3 times. Yeah, but he went and got it right. Amen. He went and got it right. The Lord Jesus teaching him on the beach, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. But Peter had to be instructed back to this, and was instructed back to this. And finally he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. All right. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 to 10. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he, Jesus, had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what's that to us? You see to it. And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. It does not say he ever went to God or went to Christ to apologize to him. He went to the people that bribed him for the blood of Jesus and apologized to them.
Wow.
That's ridiculous. He didn't apologize to God and he went and killed himself. Well, if he had simply just sought the Lord, could he have been forgiven? Or was he damned? Was he reprobated? That's the question. Was he reprobated? Was he predestined for reprobation? That's the question that we're trying to answer today. Let me continue to reading here. But the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful to put them in the treasury because they are the price of blood. Now here these hypocrites said, we're going to give you money for the price of Jesus' blood, but then we're not going to put that blood money back into our treasury because that's sin to us. Huh. How wicked do you have to be to do that? That's wicked. Now we can't have that money because it's blood money that we bribed you to bring him to us, and now it's tainted to us. That's delusional, man. That's completely turned over to their wickedness. As therefore that field has been called, I'm sorry, let me go back, verse 7, and they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. You already talked about that. All right, concerning this passage about Jeremiah in Matthew 27, we don't find it in Jeremiah. It's not there for some reason. It's actually in Zechariah. And there's a couple different explanations, many different, but a couple that I think might be found acceptable. One explanation was that the early manuscripts were titled Jeremiah for all the prophets. And then they took and retitled them to according to who they were seeing within the prophecies. Another explanation, I think it's a better explanation, is what we see in the end of the book of Revelation, where the Bible says that curses the man who takes away or adds to the word of God. So I think there was, in some one place or the other, there was a taking away or adding to of scriptures, or maybe moving one scripture from here to there in order to bring confusion among the believers, or give the skeptic a way to criticize the Bible. Okay? I think that's a better explanation, more reasonable explanation. But I haven't researched all the manuscripts to know that they were all titled Jeremiah. I'm just believing that by faith upon a Christian website, specifically Albert Barnes' commentary regarding this question. And I'm not going to read from Revelation 22, 18 to 19, but that's where it talks about that adding to or taking away from the prophecy of this book. It's like the last book of Revelation, the last book of the canonized Bible as we accept it today, it's almost like this is the end, the seal of it. There's not going to be any more books after that, which would have been like in 90 AD. So that would have been about the time frame that John the Revelator wrote that book. Well, let me read you the passage from Zechariah. It's in chapter 11, verses 12 to 13. Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and drew them into the house of the Lord for the potter. There's the potter's field. There's the potter's field. That's exactly so. In a sense, Judas was fulfilling scripture. He was fulfilling prophecy. So God had to know that part, right? Whether you're an open theist or, God's foreknowledge complete. He knows everything that will happen. Of course, that leaves room for people to think, well, God made all the sin and he makes people sin, which we don't believe that. All right, so the question begged concerning Judas was and is, did he lose his salvation? We have many answers and questions for this. Was Judas saved in the first place? All right. Was he filled with the Holy Ghost, cast out devils, healed and raised people from the dead as he was commissioned? And the Bible records it was so. By whose power did Jesus do these miracles by? Had to be God's power. Jesus directed his disciples. He sent them out two by two and they did these things. Could we conclude then that God can even use the devil or his children to accomplish his will? Was Judas a child of the devil while he obeyed the Lord? Why would a child of the devil obey the Lord? Could God use us for a season and then cast us away because we wanted to fulfill sin more than his will and righteousness? I suppose the answer is yes. It could be that way. You see 2 Peter 2, verses 20 to 22, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6, and Hebrews chapter 10. And I don't know why I didn't put the verses there, but you can find it very easily in Hebrews 10. 26
to 31.
26 to 31. Thank you, John.
Peter 2 to what?
2 Peter 2, verses 20 to 22. The pig returning to its mire, the dog to its vomit passage. Having tasted the heavenly gift, the Holy Spirit. Having tasted of the heavenly Spirit, the Holy Spirit, having been born again, regenerated, converted, and then going, you know what, I'm going to go back to my sin. You keep doing that until the Holy Spirit says, I can't do anything else with this. I'm not going to violate. God is not going to spiritually rape us. He's not going to make us. I remember, and you guys have heard me tell this story before, of me being in the bathroom, praying on my hands and knees to God next to the toilet. I'm going, God, make me obey you. God, make me holy. And still small voice, why won't you love me? Why won't you obey me? So God's not going to make us obey him. So we're faced with those moral choices to please him, and we know a thing that would not please him, we choose that which would please him. The law of love, amen?
Amen.
All right. In contradiction to what I just said, or seeming contradiction, the scriptures describe Judas Iscariot to indicate that possibly he was never a true follower of Jesus, and some sects of Christianity would say, well, he was a false convert. He was a false believer. He didn't really believe. Well, you could make that assertion, but you can't prove it unless you know the person's heart. God knows the person's heart. For making a true confession, a true humbling of themselves and crying out to God, and they know it, God knows it, and it's hard for us to judge it, but we can judge the fruit. Okay? John chapter 6, verse 64, there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. There's foreknowledge. Is that the beginning of time, though? That's the question that's begged by that passage. Is that the beginning of time or the beginning of the ministry where Jesus called Judas Iscariot out to follow him? My supposition, it was from the time that he called him out. He watched him. He discerned. Of course, Jesus would have been able to exercise good discernment, right? You believe that. You see, Jesus, through that time, was seeing how that Judas was operating in the spirit he was operating in, spirit of covetousness and stealing and lying. He would have known he was of his father, the devil. John chapter 6, verse 70 to 71, Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is the devil, is a devil. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. John 17, verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So previously Judas was sent out by Jesus with others to proclaim the good news, work miracles, and cast out demons. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. Brother John Williams, will you read that, please? Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. If I see any yawning, any more yawning, we get up and do jumping jacks, okay? Just to warn you, if you need to stand up and stretch yourself, I don't mind. Get some water. If I'm boring you, I'm sorry. But if you need to yawn, that means you don't have enough oxygen or you're too tired. So fix it. Right, Brother John Williams, go ahead.
Matthew 10, 1 through 16. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor strip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide until ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
Okay, so I'm going to just go through a syllogism here of sorts, framework that I want to talk about in regards to Judas's ministry with the other apostles who were sent out by Jesus and commissioned by Jesus and the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be talking all the way to verse 33, so pay attention, listen carefully. If you need me to slow down, just raise your hand and I'll try and do that. Okay. Now, first of all, we know that all received the power to heal, cast out devils, raise from the dead, and this power is by the Holy Spirit that Jesus commissioned them. How could anyone who was laboring for God be unsaved or at a minimum a disciple? In verse 10, we see that Judas was a sheep among wolves. The Spirit was in Judas and the other 11 disciples to answer the authorities. In verse 22 to 25, do we see Judas enduring to the end? Whose master was called Beelzebub as the disciples were? In verse 24, we see they are persecuted as a servant like their master. In verse 27 to 28, Judas was a preacher, warning people to not fear men but God. In verse 32 to 33, confession before men will bring favor from Jesus. Denying him, he would deny you and us. So now let's go back and look at those things carefully. Let's go back and look in verse 10. See how he was a sheep among wolves. Matthew chapter 10, verse 10, please. Matthew chapter 10, verse 10.
Nor strip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat.
Hmm.
16 is the one about wolves, though.
Yeah, well, I guess I must have a typo there. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So, yeah, that would have been verse 6.